So, Emma.
Yeah, Jules?
I was at the grocery store today and there was only one mango left.
That's really sad.
Yeah, and there was one guy going for it. Uh-huh. But I swooped in there and I got it.
Yeah?
Yeah. The look he gave me was pretty sourdough.
That's terrible.
You love it.
I do love it. Oh, man. Welcome to episode 1 of Let's Bake History, a pseudo-educational podcast for fans of baking, history, and bad puns. So, on today's episode, we're going to start at the very beginning with the oldest leavened bread out there.
Sourdough.
It's fluffy bread of the gods, probably given to us by accident. Then, later on, I have a fun little quiz prepared for you on a segment I like to call Proved or Underproved.
Well, got my notebook. Let's go.
So, do you know what sourdough is?
Bread.
Yeah.
That's crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside, and probably sour.
You got it. That's pretty spot on.
I know.
Like most breads, it's made by fermentation within dough made up of flour and water and naturally occurring bacteria and yeasts. And at the most basic level, if you mix water and flour and leave it out in the open, it will catch the naturally occurring yeast in the air, and they'll start eating away at the flour, the sugars in the flour, and produce carbon dioxide, and that will make the bread rise. Hmm. You can also accomplish rising through commercial raising agents like baking powder or dried yeast, but for most of history, people use some variation of sourdough, so some variation of naturally occurring yeast and bacteria that would make bread rise. And in addition, the sour flavor is caused by the lactic acid produced by the particular strains of bacteria that are present in sourdough, which create the sour taste and also create a very stable little environment due to the pH level of the bacteria. It's kind of a fun little science experiment. There's actually a lot of scientific literature about the biochemical interactions.
So lactic acid, like the stuff my muscles make when they're working hard, right?
Are you sourdough?
I mean, when I am when I leave the gym. It's sour all day.
So to make sourdough, it's sort of a long process compared to some other baked goods. Mm. You start with a pre-ferment or a starter, which is also called a chief, a head, a mother, a sponge. Mm. It's got a gloopy, wet texture usually, and it's a combination of the water, flour, and the yeast and bacteria. And this starter can live for years, because every day or every week, if it's in the refrigerator, you take it out, you throw most of it away, add more water and flour, and then let the yeast and bacteria eat that new food, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And with all this discarded starter, people usually make other things like pizza dough or naan bread or delicious, delicious foods.
Crumpets.
Crumpets, yes. And you don't need sourdough, unlike other whole grain breads that you have to knead in order to develop the gluten structure.
Wait. Are you saying we don't need to knead the sourdough?
Well, you need the sourdough. You just don't need to knead the sourdough.
Mm.
Because the gluten structure is just developed as the dough rises over long periods of time. You usually have to let sourdough rise for 16 to 48 hours, so a couple days. And you fold it and let it think about itself and get all delicious. And then you bake it in a closed container to capture the steam and get that crispy, crunchy crust that we all love and know.
All right. So that's basically it? That's how you make sourdough?
That's how you make it. Now, I want to take you through a brief history of sourdough, but we're going to have to move pretty quickly because sourdough's been around for a long time.
Exactly how long?
Since about 1500 BC.
All right.
So we'll hop in our time machine.
That's my time machine.
I like it.
Thank you.
Jump back to ancient Egypt, which is where we think sourdough probably started.
North Africa. Hot. Sandy. Although I bet at 1500 BC was kind of fertile, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was the Fertile Crescent. And this time was also when we believe that Egyptians discovered beer. And we're not sure which one they discovered first, but we know that they have drawings and writings about both beer and bread. And we think they discovered them pretty much the same way, which is that they left, someone left a basket of wheat and grain out in the open too long, and then it rained, and then that combination started to ferment and made beer, or if it was ground flour that was left out too long and collected the bacteria, it fermented into sourdough. So they ended up with this bubbly, gloopy, sour mess, and they thought, let's bake that.
So are you saying that because of someone's negligence, we now have delicious, delicious beer and bread?
That's pretty much what I'm saying. I'm not endorsing laziness, but I am pointing out that that's how we have sourdough bread, so.
I mean, I think it's kind of cool that in Egypt it was like, do you want to eat your bread or you want to drink your bread, you know? Yeah.
And when they accidentally discovered sourdough in this way, it was the first time that they had leavened bread as opposed to simple crackers that they would take flour and water and just bake it straight away.
Okay.
Now, let's move along to ancient Greece, because from Egypt, the sourdough product pretty much spread throughout the world, and in ancient Greece, it was a luxury. They had over 70 varieties of bread, both leavened and unleavened, that was made at home and then later sold in bakeries. And then if we fast forward again to ancient Rome, we see that the Romans did what they pretty much typically did throughout history, which is they took something the Greeks did and just made it better, like aqueducts and the theater.
Right. Well, two for two right there.
Yeah. And in fact, Romans were so enamored with bread that it made its way into literature, and a famous poet named Juvenal, who was from a rich family and originally went into the military, but was kicked out of the military and spent his adult life writing satiric poems mocking the elite. Both for their corruption in politics and also for their love of sourdough. One of his most famous poets says that, essentially, people who once ruled legions and took over continents now concern themselves only with bread and circuses.
Sir, what?
So, you know, like gladiatorial shows.
Ah.
They would just sit around eating toast and watching people fight.
Right, because when I think of gladiators, I think of...
Yeah, also plays. Pretty much all forms of spectator entertainment.
Right, but sourdough. With sourdough and circuses.
Let's move on to Germany in the 15th century. At this point, sourdough can be found all the way around the world, but in Germany, it rivaled in popularity for another type of yeast that we've talked about already. I'll give you one guess.
Is that beer?
It is beer.
Nailed it.
Because Germany is known for its breweries, particularly because the monasteries would make beer, and they already had the heat to raise the bread. They already had the grains and the beer yeast, so they just often use that for bread instead. So there was, you can find records of sourdough at this time, but it is rivaled by beer bread. And now I think let's get a little sophisticated. Let's move to France. Because you know what? France is respectable.
Is it, though?
Compared to Germany.
Hmm.
Maybe.
If you're in Germany, no offense.
They're drunk. but France, of course, saw this opportunity to take a peasant's loaf and turn it into a culinary pièce de résistance.
Ah, bien sûr.
A lovely, delicious bread that they decided it wasn't enough to just have it prove once overnight. And raising it twice wasn't good enough.
Right.
They had to raise it three times. So they sort of extended...
Jesus Christ.
It's he also rose from the dead.
I'm noticing a trend.
Sourdough and Jesus.
Sourdough and Jesus Christ.
Bread is his body, so...
You heard it here, folks.
He rose, and it rose, and...
Everybody ate it?
I'm gonna go to... Yeah, I guess. I don't think that's a proper sort of communion loaf sourdough.
No, they eat the body of Christ.
I mean,
wafers.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it does sound like a much better communion loaf, just sort of with the risen.
Yeah.
It is risen. He is risen indeed.
Let us all... Give thanks for that. That which rises.
Yeah.
Let us too rise. Like,
yeah. I got some friends.
The phoenix from the
ashes. In
the church
community. I should pitch this.
You should.
Be the second coming of sourdough bread. But so France did their thing. France decided that, you know, it was better to spend a whole week making sourdough. Bakers don't need time off. You know, let's just make this. Let's make beautiful sourdough creations.
Right.
Now, Jules, so far we've been in Europe. I want to take us somewhere a little closer to home.
Boston.
Okay, a little less close.
Hawaii.
Okay, a little closer.
Oregon?
Oregon.
Nailed it.
Wild, Wild West, Oregon Trail, USA.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1800s.
Hey, y'all.
You're in a caravan.
I got dysentery.
You got dysentery.
Right.
You got 20 relatives.
I buried one of them on the way here.
You got Knox. His name's Jezebel.
Oh, Jesse.
And you also got, in a small container, your family's sourdough recipe.
It's all I need.
It's all you need, because there wasn't any grocery stores out west. You couldn't just go to Price Chopper.
What?
They didn't have that.
Yeah, well.
You had to carry your sourdough with you, and the healthy bacteria and the vital nutrition provided from the bread was important to families.
Mm-hmm.
So they pretty much carry their sourdough recipes with them. Both the original pioneers who went out west, and then throughout the gold rush as people moved up through Alaska even. So much so that prospectors, gold prospectors at the time, were known as sourdoughs. And you can see that reference in cookbooks and poems all the way through the early 1900s. And the native Alaskans would even distinguish between the new coming miners. They would call some of them chichacos, which was basically a native Alaskan word for newcomer, who made their bread with baking powder.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would call the other ones the sourdoughs, who made their bread from sourdough.
So we got the chichacos, jets, and the sourdough sharks.
Mm-hmm. And it all ended in a dance baking battle.
A delicious bread battle. Everybody won.
One of the cookbook Bibles on the topic is Ruth Allman's Alaska Sourdough. And she says in that cookbook that a true Alaskan sourdough would as soon spend a year in the hills without his rifle as to tough it through without his bubbling sourdough pot.
Sounds like a ride or die kind of a place.
It is. It's a bread or die kind of place.
All right.
And then in San Francisco, major city out west at that time, there was a French family headed by Isidore Boudin.
Boudin.
It's going to be 5 minutes.
Boudin.
Boudin. Anyway, Boudin. I'm going to say Boudin. This was when stores started to come in with some yeast. But Boudin. He and his family decided to eschew the increasingly popular commercial yeast, like baking powder or dried yeast, to continue the original French tradition of the tangy sourdough. And his bakery is still in operation today, boasting the original San Francisco sourdough. And their claim to fame isn't just empty words. In 1984, the strain of lactic acid bacteria used in this type of sourdough was officially cataloged by real scientists as Lactobacillus sanfranciscensis.
New life goal, get a sourdough strain named after myself.
Yeah, it's either that or a star.
Lactobacillus Julieticus.
Julieticus, yeah.
Nailed it.
You might have more luck with a star, actually. I don't think there are that many sourdough strains. But we'll work on it.
We'll work on it.
Today, sourdough continues to be popular. It's having a little bit of a renaissance after sort of a lull in the late 18 and early 1900s with increased labor laws that meant people couldn't stay in the bakery all night, and also increasingly popular commercial products and pre-made breads. But in the past 30 years, there's been an increase in sourdough. In 1993, the UK even had to pass regulations defining what could be sold as sourdough bread. So I guess some people were trying to pass off some, like, back alley sourdough bread.
Hey, kids.
And England was like,
hey, kids, you want some sourdough? Hey, I got different. I got the
Egypt, got raisins in it?
I got the Egypt crap. I got that French stuff. I
got that fancy ancient stuff.
I got that Alaskan strain. I see it.
Back alley sourdough.
Kind of sourdough.
Really, really over sourdough.
I can't believe it's not sourdough. Well, they did it, not me.
And you can still buy sourdough starters today. You can buy them online, which is great. The internet has really helped connect bakers from around the world. And the cool thing about modern technology and shipping is that you can get sourdough strains that are descended from the original Giza Egyptian sourdough. So you can make very historic sourdoughs, or you can get them from around the world, from Africa, from Italy, from different places, and have sort of a connection to the history of sourdough in many different countries.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and a lot of bakeries locally will even share their sourdough, the discarded sourdough starter with you, because you go through so much of it. So you can start your own sourdough at home.
I can imagine there being like little clan wars based on whose sourdough is the best strain.
I would guess so. And there are many types of bread around the world that either use sourdough in some capacity or are sourdough breads. There's Danish rugbread, Mexican salty birote, German pumpernickel, Flemish desem bread, which is a word for starter. There are lots of flatbreads that use starter, and also certain types of fermented rice and potato soups that use sourdough in India and parts of Africa. But yeah, pretty much every culture has their variety of this ancient, ancient, delicious Egyptian bread that was made accidentally by the gods when some peasant just left their water flour out for too long.
And you know what the best news is?
No.
Now you're the happy mother of your own little sourdough.
Yes, yes. I recently got a sourdough starter, and now I have to feed it every week. It's sort of like a child, but only if a child only had to eat once a week. So it's not quite as, you know, laborious, but...
And you get to know if you mess it up a lot quicker than if you did a child.
Yeah, there's not like an 18-year fermentation process. It's sort of like, oh, tomorrow morning. Not good. Throw it in the bin. So, Jules, I think it's time for this week's segment of Proved or Underproved.
All right. My notebook is filled. I got my pencil out. This is an open book quiz, right?
Sure. As long as the open book is your mind.
All right. Well, let's see what happens.
I have 5 questions for you. You all can play along at home if you want. See how many you can get right. All right. So we're going to start off with a little bit of a easy one, because this is going to be multiple choice.
Okay. Hit me.
So the San Francisco Boudin Bakery makes their sourdough into a whole lot of different shapes. Which one of the following is not a shape of their sourdough bread? Is it A, a lobster, B, a turkey, C, a scorpion, D, an alligator, or E, a seahorse?
I'm going to go with alligator, because I feel like I've never seen an alligator in San Francisco, so alligator.
You would be wrong. The answer is E, seahorse.
Well...
Now, I will say,
yeah.
I got this question by meticulously stalking their Instagram, Facebook, and website to look for all their bread types.
Good to know.
So don't at me. They may have a seahorse hidden somewhere. They're going to make a seahorse now, just to prove me wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
But they make bread in every shape imaginable, and it's very impressive. And if you live in San Francisco, you should definitely go eat their bread, I guess.
Unless you're lactose. Nope.
No, it's gluten. It's good.
Gluten. Free. Gluten. Celiacs? That's all the kinds.
Yeah, if you're gluten-free, maybe still eat it, but just be prepared. Unless you're going to die, then don't.
Then don't.
Unless you're ready to die with this bread. Then it's very delicious bread.
You make your own choices.
Yeah,
let anyone tell you what to do.
Rule your life.
Yeah.
Question number 2.
Let's go.
This is a true or false question.
50-50.
The starter was so valuable to the Boudin family business in San Francisco that when the earthquake of 1906 hit, resulting in widespread fires, Louis Boudin is said to have saved the starter in a bucket.
True. True.
That is correct. That is true.
As we've so eloquently pointed out, sourdough is like a child.
It is.
And you can mess it up real quickly.
The story does not say whether she saved her child or he saved his child. Louis?
That's a man.
It doesn't say whether whether they saved their child.
Yeah, whether they
just
saved their child.
Just that they carried their sourdough in a bucket.
Yeah.
Question number 3. True or false?
50-50.
Oscar Wilde wrote a scathing poem about sourdough in the late 1800s titled A Bread as Sour as My Love, ostensibly about his lover, Lord Alfred Douglas.
What I know about Oscar Wilde is that he did write a lot of sappy things. Have I read them all? No. Have I read a lot of them? No. Have I read more than one? Probably in high school. So, I'm really flying blind here. But I'm gonna go with true because I think it's kind of funny.
That is false.
Ah, you're false.
I made that up. However,
you and your English major.
There was a different poet called Robert W. Service, who no one knows about, except that during the Gold Rush, he did write a poem called Songs of a Sourdough, which was one of the best-selling books of poetry in the first decade of the 20th century. I really wish Oscar Wilde had written a poem about sourdough, because it fits with his M.O.
All right.
Question 4.
Well, I'm flying 1 for 3, so let's go for it.
Yeah, so far you're 1 for 3. True or false? Sourdough plays a part in Slavic folklore, where the mythical mountain lord Krakonos gave sourdough to his people, and they invented sourdough soup.
I know there is such a thing as sourdough soup, being Slavic myself. I do not know about a Krakonos. But I also did not grow up in that culture. So I don't know. And part of me wants to say true because I'm a very gullible person and want everything fantasticable. Fantasticable? Fantastic? To be true.
Fantastical.
Fantastical. See, I'm flustered just thinking about it. I'm going
What's
with
your
true.
Answer?
True. Final answer.
It is true.
Oh, God.
And you should know this deep in your bones because sourdough soup, a North Slavic fermented cereal soup, is in Poland called white borscht.
I do. Yeah, I've had white borscht before.
Yeah, well, the mountain lord Krakonos gave sourdough and made borscht, so. Just another way that sourdough really is the savior of the day.
Is it too late to turn this podcast into a borscht podcast?
Well, we can do an episode on borscht. That's a lie. We can't.
White borscht.
White borscht. All right, final question.
Okay.
5.
I'm 2 for 4.
True or false? Despite sourdough's ancient origins, making sourdough is forbidden in Amish culture due to the alcohol byproduct often created when the starter is left out too long.
I am going to say false because I think Amish people are pretty frugal, and I feel like them wasting something like that would go against the kind of goals of the community. So false.
Well, you are correct. That is not true. In fact, there is a popular Amish sourdough bread called Amish Friendship Bread, which includes sourdough, sugar, and milk, is shared amongst family members. Oftentimes, they would give bits of it to neighbors and friends and sort of spread it around. There's a similar German friendship cake where you also pass bits of the starter from person to person. The Amish, A-okay. Down to sourdough.
I feel like that'd be kind of a sucky gift.
Happy birthday!
Take care of this thing for the rest of your life!
It's kind of gloopy. At least it's not a plant. It's better than giving someone a plant. You know, at least, like, with sourdough, they can keep it in their fridge and just make some bread.
I like plants.
Well, I'll get you plants. You can get me sourdough. What was that? 3 out of 5?
That's technically more correct than incorrect.
You're true. You we can improve next week. I'll make some tougher questions. You'll bring your A game. It'll be good. I think that's all the time we have this week.
You can find our show on iTunes or wherever you find podcasts.
Send us your favorite sourdough jokes on Twitter at BakeHistoryCast or by email at BakeHistoryCast@gmail.com.
Next week we'll be talking about muffins. Because ain't nothing gonna keep me from my muffin.
Aw.
Yeah.
Until then, I'm Emma.
And I'm Jules.
And thanks for joining us for this episode of
Let's Bake History.
Ta-da!
Do-do-do-do-do.